Of course, it wasn't as funny as Andy about choking to death last night. Oh, dude, Morning Glory's volume 3. Where's 2? Oh, there was 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Oh, do they explain anymore? Do they explain anymore?
Yeah, I think so.
Sweet.
They also give you more questions.
God damn it.
Just read it. I love that.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Library, episode 34. I'm here with...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
Logan.
And, of course, I'm Richard. We appreciate you joining us today. We'd also like to give a shout-out to musicgalley.com. They provide our music intro and outro, Andrew Lubman's Train of Thought. Go to their website, see if there's something there that you might enjoy. The downloads are 99 cents a piece. They have thousands of music that you can choose from, different genres, so be sure to check out musicgalley.com and give them a try. In this episode, we're going to be reviewing War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells and Anomaly by Skip Brittingham and Brian Haberlin. And we're going to do War of the Worlds first. This is the novel from 1898, and Chris, we'll let you take it away.
Basically, if you've seen the movie with Tom Cruise... This book is nothing, well, a little bit like that, but not in the time sense. This book, as Richard said, was written in 1898 by H.G. Wells, and when I started reading the book, I got bored. What was that?
Was it me? It was me.
Okay. So when I started reading the book, I got bored, and the reason is because everything is horse and buggy. There are no cars. There's no technology. So you kind of...
Just
stop playing with your phone.
My bad. I was muting after Richard went off.
I can't wait till he presses that button and it's like, please say command.
No.
Damn it.
new technology.
Oh, I got to go through so many damn screens to get to my phone.
I'm losing my train of thought.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Okay, so everything in this book is horse and buggy. So there's no technology in this book aside from the wheel, maybe fire.
Wow.
They have okay. A little bit more than that.
Thanks.
There's
just hold on. I have a point to why I said it. So because I said it to the extreme because we can't fathom what that would be like in our society today. We take technology for granted.
True.
Admit it. Okay.
And you even said, you know, Tom Cruise's nothing like it. Well,
right.
Even the, what was it, 50s or 60s version, they still had cars and stuff. It's
right.
So, yeah, it's way back in the day.
So, the book starts off in a similar way that the movie does, in that you have a main character.
What? And
she's in a movie.
A main character?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Enough. Zip
wow.
It. I'm going to... Okay. So...
And it's only similar in this way to the first, not the second.
Hold on. Just but listen. So, and I can't remember what the guy's name is. Help me out.
Oh, hold
John.
On.
John Doe.
Yeah. Whatever.
Hold on a moment.
MC for main character.
And on E Mouse.
Okay. Anyway... In the book is written from his point of view. Okay, so he sees, and if anybody has seen that meteor from Russia,
right.
This is probably what he saw, except for these things that hit the ground actually had a cylinder like shape, and then from these, I'm going to call them pods, these aliens emerge from it. And the immediately there's a suspicion that they are from Mars. We've read several books where the only aliens that exist in our universe are from Mars. And I'm guessing they, you know, Mars is a metaphor, as in they just came from a long, long way away or something.
Right. And in this one, they pretty much believe it's Mars because they saw the flashes of light from Mars in the very opening of the book. They're in an observatory.
Right.
And they see the flashes, and then is it a week, 2 weeks later?
I can't remember.
They actually come down somewhere in that time frame. So that's why the characters in the book think they're from Mars.
Right. So, anyway, these things come out of the cylinders that represent what you see as far as the aliens go in the movie, except for they're only probably 6 foot tall.
Are they that tall?
I don't know. So but they had these little sort of flat spherical heads. Flat spherical. Yeah. flat sort of round heads. Oh. And had arms that protruded out from underneath of them, and that's how they maneuvered.
I'm really starting to think about octopus.
Except for fewer legs
or
and not such a bulbous head.
Kind of to give you an idea, well, if you've seen the movies, you kind of get a rough idea.
Right.
But another movie, if you haven't seen War of the Worlds, is Independence Day. Not the actual shells, but the creatures within the body armor. They have the...
Right.
So that's kind of what I kind of like. Okay, the head's kind of like that.
Right.
And then their arms are kind of tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you got?
Yeah. And there were more than one in these cylinder-like things that came down. So anyway, so they start to emerge, and this is where I kind of get a little confused. They start working, basically, is all they really say. Because, for one, humans of this time have never seen or even believed that life on other planets exist or have any clue about technology. They're pretty limited as far as tools of their time as far as what they know. So they don't understand that this spherical thing that came down is sort of a
UFO-ish.
Hold on.
Oh.
Check. Okay. Is this sort of spaceship, you know, they don't people of the time didn't comprehend, at least as far as the book was putting it, didn't comprehend anything as far as interstellar space travel.
And they were like it was nothing. They were at the pub still drinking. And
they were just chilling out with aliens.
Right. Well, except for this guy, the main character. And he took an interest in what was kind of going on. He was very, I'm going to say, concerned. But the rest of the society either didn't care or didn't know. Mainly because, like I said, technology probably limited to maybe a postal carrier. No email back in that day.
No.
Gas lamps.
So
those are spiffy.
Yeah.
They had boats.
Oil lamps.
They had a navy that could fire their cannons, and they had cannons. But I don't think there was even, I don't even remember any Model A's or anything like that being described.
No.
Or steam
there
cars.
There was no cars in the book.
That's what I thought, but I don't remember.
I was looking for references. Okay, anyway, so he's in this little town several miles away from London, and when these aliens start sort of moving out and then multiplying, more of these. let me back that up.
Whoa!
When these aliens,
what were they doing in that crater? Yeah,
this just got intense.
Okay, So backing up here. So these aliens are just kind of doing whatever it is they were doing next to their little pod. More of them started re-entering the atmosphere and coming down. So more of these aliens were popping up all over England.
Yep.
And why they just chose England, I'll never know.
Doctor Who lives there.
Good point. It's his fault. Okay.
That would be good if we found a reference to Doctor Who in here.
No, but it started in Christmas too. That's when everything happened
to London. True, Christmas time.
Do they build these robots or do they just come out of these pods? What's the deal?
The way I took it is they built them inside the ships and then they came out of the ship. Like, were there like one per ship or two per ship?
I don't remember.
Like that?
But they did come out. They did come out with these giant machines. And they had a weapon on them that was basically a light ray that turned everybody to dust or set them on fire suddenly, but pretty much mass destruction, you know, massively destructive weapon.
And something odd.
So
they don't burn clothes. Something odd. They don't burn clothes, but they boil water.
Right.
Is that in the book, or was that?
Yeah, it's in the book.
Is that That's in the book alien technology for you.
So it burns humans right out of their clothes. So yep, dehydrates them.
So in that regards, the ships in the Tom Cruise movie that were kind of reminiscent. Well, not exactly, but they had the three long legs with the capsule up top. So, and when we were watching the 50s one, they don't really do that. So when you're thinking of the book, think of more of the Tom Cruise movie when we're talking about the alien contraption.
As far as they look. Now, I don't remember in the movie they pick up humans and use them as fertilizer for whatever terraforming they were using. I didn't catch that in the book.
Well, the book kidnaps them, and I don't think it actually tells you what it does with them, does it?
It doesn't tell. The only thing we know is when the main character and the priest were hiding in a building, they saw them attaching to one human and sucking the blood out. And that's the extent. And some of them, they were taking people and putting out into the ship as well. But like Logan said, I don't think they went into detail what happened after that, like in the Tom Cruise movie.
Right.
And something else. You know how in the movies they had that shield around them?
Right.
In which the second later movie, it might have just been proximity based, but so they still had the shield. In the book, a ship with cannons was able to destroy two, was it?
I believe so, before it was sunk.
Two alien warships or whatever they are, destroyed by one ship.
So in the book, there was no shield or anything like that. They, of course, when you think of 1898, he didn't have a concept of shields.
It's H.G. Wells. He didn't have a concept of a lot of things that he portrayed in his books.
But he was very inventive nonetheless.
Right. I mean, 1898, he's talking about these robots piloted by aliens. I mean, that was probably, you know, everybody thought his books was the devil or devil Bible or something back then.
No, they thought it was real.
No, you're thinking of the radio program that was based on this. I can't remember who did that.
Yeah, that was done in the... Wasn't that done in the 50s or... No, in the 30s or something like that?
I was going to say you were right. The
first what
time,
did they
50s.
Do?
50s. They had a radio broadcast of basically the War of the Worlds, more or
but
less.
They
the,
updated it to modern day, and people thought they were actually attacking them.
Actually being invaded.
And the people in California actually thought it was happening.
Yeah.
Who did, I can't remember who the broadcaster was. Though.
That's really funny.
You know what? I'm going to have to look that up now.
We got the man with the tablet. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. The mission, or not really, the mission of gathering information to figure out what these guys are doing has turned into a survival mission because they're now killing people. So the main character's idea was, let's get somewhere where there's shelter, people, food in abundance. So he starts his trek to London. And in his trek, he goes through a couple of smaller towns and notices either people aren't doing anything or they're panicking, trying to get out of the way. They do, the country of England does put up an offensive. As Logan has said earlier, they killed one.
But the ground forces really didn't have much luck.
Right. They used cannons against him, but it wasn't, you know, you can't, yes, you can aim a cannon, but, you know, a 9-pound ball doesn't fly far enough when you're trying to avoid a light beam that vaporizes you.
And the scene that Logan was talking about was the Navy, that he went to a river crossing or at the shoreline of England, and the Navy was out there and they fired on him and
I thought they just
destroyed
switched
him.
Perspectives to the, wasn't it just a passenger ship? Well, probably used to be Navy, but
I thought of it as a naval ship.
I don't think he was actually there, though. Kind of like when he saw his brother.
Oh, was that when his brother was?
Oh, no, it wasn't with his brother either. I'm saying it was like the scenes with his brother.
Okay.
We were seeing it. He just wasn't there. Pretty sure, at least.
Okay, it doesn't say who did the broadcast, but it was on October 30th of 1938.
38, you were
right. Was a radio broadcast, but it was a portion of a adaptation by Orson Welles.
That's who the
adaptation of the book War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, and said that many had thought it was real and actually fled in their cars. Yeah. And, you know, they thought it was real. And this was, you got to remember, that was before TV and radio was all they listened to. So, yeah.
So kind of an interesting, side fact.
Nope. No, I'm sitting here reading the Wikipedia page. They're the tripods that he uses quite a bit to describe these aliens actually gave ideas for computer games of Half-Life 2, Unreal Tournament 3, Crysis, and Crysis 2, and Mass Effect.
Sure.
I can see it in some of those games because I've played the demos of Mass Effect. I played Crysis, all three of them now. Sorry, I like Crysis. And they do have a lot of influence behind some of the characters that are described in the book so far.
So H.G. Wells continues to live.
Yeah.
Watch Warehouse 13.
I'll say if you watch Warehouse 13, it's a she.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Hate that series.
So, anyway.
I know I'm taking a lot of time, but hate to say this about a classic, but a lot of this I was kind of drudging through because it was slow.
It is slow. And I don't know if it was H.G. Wells had a target, or maybe it's just because society nowadays expects our entertainment to come at us real fast. That's why we like action movies. You know, and this is a classic. It could be just that genre of science fiction, because a lot of classic science fiction seems to drag.
But the Time Machine, to me, didn't drag as much as this one did to me.
Right. But how about Neuromancer? Do you remember Neuromancer?
No, it was pretty easy paced. I enjoyed the pace
on
that one.
Well, to me, Time Machine was more like a short story.
It was. It was published in a magazine.
Yeah, so I was like, it kind of has to be.
This one's considered a full-length novel, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, this is a novel. I'm trying to think. I know. I've reviewed several other books that just classic. That just seems
the Fahrenheit
451.
Yes.
It was a little slow, but
when we're comparing these, some do seem slower than others. But
Prelude to Foundation was decently paced. Demon.
Right.
Was decently
paced.
Well,
Demon doesn't really compare because it's a new.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, so to continue on with the story, he eventually makes his trek to London and then realizes, oh crap, the aliens are here too.
Shock.
So he ends up going through, like I said, this whole survival mode, and I won't go into detail about it. But eventually, now this is where I get a little foggy. Do the aliens just start dying?
Yes.
Yeah, they just start, the tripods just start falling apart, you know.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And you'll have to read the book to find out why.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want me to give it away?
Unless you just want to.
Doctor Who.
Well, no, that's okay. Because, in every other podcast I reviewed a novel, I sort of did give the ending away.
Or I did,
but,
or somebody did.
All right.
No, I'm pretty sure it was you, Dad.
Well, no, the last time it was Logan.
True.
Yeah.
So
we're bad about that.
But they just kind of start dying. And really, I thought it was kind of a cop-out. It's like he didn't know what force he could make up to kill these things off that would be just cool, shock and awe. That he just said, oh, they just
die.
Couldn't call in the Air Force.
get the horse and buggy with the rockets.
I don't think they had rockets then.
Do we have any more Pegasus
actually,
in
they
the barn?
Did.
Pegasus?
Really?
Pull out the Pegasus.
They were experimenting with rockets then. Actually, they've experimented with rockets for a long time.
Well, yeah, because
the
firecrackers.
Chinese.
The idea of rockets went all the way back to Gulliver's Travels.
Okay. That's another classic I haven't read, so I couldn't
tell you.
You know what?
Well,
it's not sci-fi.
Like,
we're not going to read it.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It could be fantasy.
I would consider it fantasy.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not in our science fiction collection.
This one.
It's in our fiction.
I like the story. It was a little slow for me. The kids would. The book I have is 153 pages in length. Kids would look at it and say, "Oh, that's easy read." But once they get into it, I don't know if they would finish it because of the pace.
I wouldn't start it.
There's I probably had a hard time
extreme
starting this one.
Block
in either the beginning or the middle.
I didn't turn the cover page.
Okay.
One at a time, guys.
Yeah. Let's go. April, you first, then Logan.
Like, I didn't even turn the cover page. I was like, you know what? I did my duty. I served by reading The Time Machine. So why do I have to read another book? So
because you give me grief when I don't read the whole book?
I'm not the one reviewing it.
What was your comment, Logan?
I guess I'm not going to listen to music no more.
There was a block in the either beginning or middle. Can't quite remember which.
A what?
Which beginning or middle. A block.
Oh, a block of the book. Okay.
Literally almost had to skip a page at a time every other page.
Oh, really? Why?
Not sure. Can't quite remember.
Boring.
Just a little hard, boring?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do that sometimes. Well,
you know what?
Just flipping through it because we all have read this. Go ahead. It's been a month. For Logan and I think you said as well for you, Chris. But just flipping through it to kind of remind myself of what I read, there's not a whole lot of talking. It's more descriptive. Even when it's either him or his brother, they don't interact but a few different times, and I think that might be what drags it down a little bit too.
Yeah. He started running out of words.
The concept's cool, but
descriptive
I think like
fatigue.
Just like the towards the end of the book, the words just get increasingly bigger as you go. I would do that.
So if I was an acquisitions manager and had to make a decision to buy this, I would say as many people that would ask for it, I would just ILL it, even though it is in the core collection books. If you look at those. It's one of those books that I don't think a whole lot of people are just going to pick up.
I would see how many times it checks out, and if you need to weed it, put it in a bookseller or something. Yeah, I could see that. Time Machine, I can see leaving in there because it was more where kids could get into it faster, maybe. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Wait, more accessible to the
What are we talking readers. About? I, like, zoned out.
Like, you're talking about War of the Worlds, just because you didn't know.
Chris said that he didn't think that this would be
if
one
you don't
that we'd
have
to buy.
Well, you don't have to buy it. I don't think so.
Well, it is a classic H.G. Wells. I'm sure there's a lot of them that have it, but if it's worn out and they're going to replace it, it would almost be easier to probably weed it than it is to buy another copy unless it's just unbelievably checking out.
Which it won't.
Probably not.
No, not this one, I don't think.
This is one of the, if you have to do a paper on these books, this is what SparkNotes was invented for.
The only thing that might get people interested in it is if you see people checking out one of the two movies, say, you know, if you want to see what the original is, you can check it out if you can try it.
I wouldn't even do that. Because so? To me, if you watched both movies, the book is punishment.
But then if you read the book first, you won't want to watch the movies.
That's not true either.
Because you'll be like, ugh.
You know, if I wanted to see or read War of the War of the Worlds, I wouldn't even go to the book. I would just go to the movie.
This is actually probably one of those cases where I'd actually say the movie is better than the book.
More enjoyable.
More enjoyable.
Well,
I won't say
hold
better.
Hold on. Hold
that,
on.
That
second.
Is a bad word.
It's updated for right. our entertainment. The way we view entertainment these days, it's updated for that. You know, that yeah. might have been entertainment to an Amish person.
Way to like call out the Amish. Golly. Hey guys, we love you. Okay,
you know that might be that might have been entertainment one, for somebody you. Who you know I don't want to say old person,
well in the time when this was written it was high fantasy in the time it was written
for somebody who doesn't have access to technology. Someone who doesn't understand technology, someone who could relate to this book.
Grandma, you out there?
Amish.
I'm really
no,
guessing.
No, grandma has a computer. My grandma has a tablet.
just guessing. I'm going to say, Chris, you didn't enjoy this book. I'm going out on a limb here.
Let me put it this way. I believe it's enriched my science fiction knowledge, but it is not my favorite book, definitely.
Well, like, way to dance around the question. You should be a politician.
So basically, no.
Well, I'll put it out there. I did not enjoy this like I thought it would. If I saw it again, I'm not going to reread it.
If this thing had been written in the 50s, it would probably been a little bit more entertaining.
Orson's adaptation. I'd kind of like to see what his is compared to that.
Unless you can find it on an audio file somewhere.
I doubt it.
Because it's not written. It's an
audio. Well, it was a written audio. Broadcast. And I'm
sure
you could download it.
That's going to be archived
it's
somewhere.
It's probably
somewhere.
On YouTube.
You know, might
probably.
Be. Chris is going to look it up.
But yeah, I'll flat out say I did not enjoy this book. It was too slow for me. Like Chris says, it's almost a punishment. But if you're really wanting to put it in your library,
don't.
You can. I would say it's good for, you know, 14 up.
If you have a community college or a sort of
a learning library.
Chris is going to come over here and spank you down.
Or
for messing with the mic.
Or a high school who has a teacher in it that is requiring it for research, then I would not get it.
People would probably just watch the movie.
Well, that
and then
no, that's notes. The whole thing.
But then everyone cliff would notes. Get an F. Like,
actually,
but that's yes. why a teacher would require somebody to do research on that is because she wants to see who's going to be the responsible person to actually read the book. Because
it's completely different.
It is. Quite a bit of it is. There's some similarities, but most of it different. So I would say pass. Get it through ILL from a larger library, like Chris said. Definitely. Anything else you want to go into, Chris?
Hold on.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds.
So, yes, it is on YouTube.
Yes, called
there
that.
There you go.
How long is it? How long of a clip is it?
57 minutes.
We're not going to listen to that right now.
Let's not. I'm just curious how long it actually was. I know they said when I read the little snippet, it was a adaptation of it, but so many people heard it and thought it was real.
And it looks like there's lots of different videos on it. There's one of them that's part 1 through 6 if you don't want to listen to it all at once. And then there's the one that I had played that was 57 minutes. So
I'm just curious how close that one is to the book.
I've never really listened to the radio broadcast. I'd have to go back and listen to it now, to be honest.
I may have to, just to see. Be interesting. Okay, we're going on. We done with this one?
You have anything else, Chris?
Yep. So if you're an adult and just want to enrich your sci-fi knowledge, that'd be about the only person I'd recommend this book for. So adult and or high school or college student.
That has to read it.
And if you have to read this, your teacher hates you.
Wow. Chris is pretty adamant about this book.
Really?
Not liking.
Well, and I got to be honest, okay? I was disappointed because I saw the movie first. So that's what I expected when I read the book. And it wasn't, it did not deliver.
You know,
at
I
all.
Remember watching the 50s version of that movie.
So do I.
And digging it.
Kevin and I just watched it a couple of weeks ago. But I think that's it for the War of the Worlds. It was not a war to remember. So
there's the title of the podcast right there.
There we go. At this time, we'll take a short break for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. This portion of the podcast, we are going to be discussing Anomaly, created by
Woohoo!
Skip Brittenham and Ryan Heberlin. Chris is excited.
It is better than War of the Worlds.
I'm so excited, and I
just
can't
hide it. Oh, yeah.
You got to see Chris's wig.
I don't want to lose control, and I think I like it.
Don't give up your day job.
Haters.
But these two gentlemen created the graphic novel. They also wrote it. The artists were Brian Heberlin again and Gerard Van Dyke. So those are the gentlemen that are primarily responsible for it. This is not your typical graphic novel. It is oversized, probably 1.5, 2 feet
I don't
wide.
Know, dude. The thing's a brick.
It's awkward.
Huge.
It's awkward.
Well, it's bigger than a brick. It's like the tablets that the Ten Commandments were on.
It's a large book. It's not going to sit on a shelf easily by any means if you put it down on like a regular book.
But it will sit on your table.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a good coffee table graphic novel, I guess. And there's a reason behind this. That
it's
we'll going to
be
it.
A centerpiece for someone.
I would totally make it a centerpiece.
Yeah. This is one that when we explain it to you, you're going to gasp It is
like that.
An individual graphic novel at this time. They're talking about there might be plans for future editions, but it depends on what all happens with this one. It is in color. It looks like primarily computer art, more than your traditional art. I'm not quite sure. What do you think, Matt?
I think it's more computer-generated than it is.
I think it's hand-drawn, but it's painted with
computer color.
That's, okay.
Well, it's, yeah.
It's like it's like how the Pixar shows are done.
Okay. Yeah, they
hand-draw them, and then...
Actually, they use computers in Pixar. They're all computer-generated.
It is a hardback book. Whether it will ever come out as a soft cover would be iffy. It's possible, but I don't see how it could, and we'll get more into that in a minute. Its sell price, and this is what will make you gasp, is $75.
Sorry.
Great example.
And it is a lot, but this book is not your typical graphic novel. There is a special feature that makes this unique and the first of its kind on the market and on the marketplace in the whole, I think.
I think so. The first I've never seen another one like it.
But before we get into that portion of it, just to do a little bit of what it's about, it's a pretty simple story. It's an easy read. It's not a whole lot of text. Beautiful artwork.
Oh, yeah. The artwork is very, very good.
It's basically the year is 2717. And, of course, in most futuristic worlds, Earth is dying. So,
thanks a lot.
Yes.
Way to give it away.
Yes. And the entity called the Conglomerate has been formed that has taken over all the corporations and nations and technology research into one entity. And this kind of reminded me of the company that is in Aliens with Ridley Scott and all that. Because that kind of reminded me of that because it was all about the company. They didn't. You had people helping you, but the bottom line was a company you didn't really care about your people. And this comes into play with this book. Their armed forces are called Enforcer Battalions, and they have Earth is so desolated and overpopulated that they have created satellite colonies, which are literally space stations. And they send out the Enforcer Battalions to different planets for first contact, not to be, hey, let's be friends, but to pretty much, if they can be friends, they don't have to waste ammo because they have to spend money to replace the ammo. But when they become friends, they'll just rape the planet of all its resources and food sources and send it back to Earth.
Rape the planet?
What?
Yeah, Galactus is here. No.
Rape the planet.
If you're a Marvel person, you might get that one.
I got it.
When the...
You got it, April?
Yes, I got it. Gosh.
Okay. Because you asked twice.
No, I got it the first time.
But if the...
Jerks.
The natives...
Beep.
But if the natives are not willing, they'll go and enforce and take everything. And the main character is John, and he was one of the commanders of a battalion. And on one of his first contacts, one of his soldiers, they're all tense and everything because the aliens are mean looking. They have their weapons out, and one of his guys starts triggering his weapon, and then, of course, a massacre ensues because they just have pretty much spears and axes, or our people have guns.
That's the one you flip to.
And he gets demoted and sent to the slums. But then later on in the book, very fast, really, he gets called back up because some of the leaders, that's a very small group, want to try to establish first contact in a peaceful manner. And the conglomerate is like, okay, you can try, but let's just get the dredges up and you take them. So if we lose them, it's no big deal because these people aren't going with weapons. So if, you know, they're open, you know, they just have what small crew they are in, rifles and handguns, nothing major artillery-wise from on their ship. Samantha is the leader of the group. She's the daughter of one of the real staunch leaders. And she has to sign over all her stuff to her father so she can go on this mission and be the commander. So he's basically gotten all of her power within the Senate is now his as well as his own. And then there's another character who I kind of think is one of the more lead characters. Name is Tony. You see him. He's more of the scientist of the group. And these three characters are pretty much the three leads of the book. that Jason's the tinkerer, scientist, trying to figure out what's going on with different devices. And the planet is actually called Anomaly. So the title of the book is the name of the planet. They go to the planet, go down. They go away from a native tribe that they've located. The ship can bury itself. And they start walking, and all of a sudden, all their synthetics just start disintegrating. There's some type of virus within the air that attacks synthetics and just eats it alive, but for some reason, not the clothes. So you would think
that's
clothes
good.
Would too, since it's a synthetic, but it doesn't. But Tony has an eye that's been replaced and an arm that's prosthetic. So he loses both of those. And all their weapons are gone, all their rifles and handguns. So they're basically back to the sword and
they'd be screwed.
Spears, pretty much. But of course, this is where the heroes have to win out in the end, pretty much. They go to the tribe. The tribe says, you have to submit to us, basically become our slaves. John says no. He has to fight the leader, and he defeats him and becomes the new leader of the tribe after he's coronated by the mystical woman.
The mystical woman.
Very good job for the low gravity there.
This kind of reminds me of Avatar.
You know what?
A little bit of Avatar, a little bit of like, John Carter.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
What was it?
Or John Carter of Mars, let me.
I was watching a movie the other day. He's like, I'm writing a novel. She's like, oh, okay, what's it about? And she goes, well, it's about this guy who goes to this planet and tries to integrate with indigenous creatures, and they're blue. And the lady goes, isn't that Avatar? No.
No.
What movie was that? It's something that's on HBO or Cinemax. It's my something that's out now.
My people would be like, one. Fuchsia.
Fuchsia?
They're not blue.
I don't know.
Well, on this planet, there's a variety of different creatures, a variety of different flavors of coloration. They got the trolls that are kind of grayish. I don't think they have fuchsia. But I think there is some blue skin characters.
My friend, the reason I say fuchsia is because my friend, she has this admirer, you know, this guy that has a crush on her. And he asked her to prom, but she's a server, and they're from different towns. She was like, it's at the same time, so I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to go. He's like, I will get you any color limo you want if you go with me. And she's like, make it fuchsia, and I will go with you.
Hopefully that friend friend you're referring to as having the crush don't listen to this, because that would embarrass
you. True.
I didn't say names, but honestly, I just really hope he shows up with the fuchsia limo.
Well, we'll go from the fuchsia limo back to Anomaly.
Thank you.
And we have giants. We have different variety of stuff, kind of like orcs, trolls. You have the big bad sorcerer, because there's magic in this world. So at this stage, we talked about the humans, because of low gravity, have extra powers. So you think of John Carter of Mars. But when you get further into it, because of all the mysticism.
Did you say mysticism?
Yes, thank you.
Just call it
magic. Almost turns into Lord of the Rings. With the scale of the battles.
That just threw out my image of this.
not after a ring.
No, they have an earring.
The main baddie kind of looks like the one to rule.
Oh, he does. He looks like Saruman.
My favorite people in the Lord of the Rings is the tree people. They're pretty cool.
With the
trents or ents.
The badass.
I don't know.
Are you talking he looks like Saruman as in he has the badass armor?
Yes.
Yep. He does.
Still trying to flip over this
around.
Humongous
Sorry,
book.
Guys.
Don't ruin.
He's also somewhat similar to the.
No,
Sith.
That looks like one of the Witch King. That looks like the Witch King.
Oh, okay.
He also has some of the
Closer.
Sith powers.
Dude, Dad, just put that on the ground.
Yeah, dude, just throw that down.
Like nobody uses those.
No, it's a dust cover. I don't want dust on it.
Seriously, nobody uses those.
But the story's pretty much simple, easy to follow. Like I said, and real easy if anybody that reads it will. Won't take them very long. It is $75. That's kind of like, oh my God. But
no,
it's $75 because of a reason. And
come on.
We'll get into that.
Let's get into the reason, because this is the coolest part of this book.
Yeah, Chris and Matt did not read this book.
I thumbed through the book and went, this is cool.
This is so cool.
They played with the book.
You betcha.
Within the cover of the book, the first couple pages, there's a instruction page, because this is interactive with an iOS system or an Android system. And you can go to the website. It actually has a QR code in here that will take you to the website. or the website is experienceanomaly.com/UAR, and you can download an app to your smartphone or device.
I will have to warn anybody that downloads the app, it's like 109 megs.
So it's pretty size. Thought you were about to say dollars. I was like, what?
The app is free. You do need the book. You know,
yeah, that would help.
But it is a very large download. I wouldn't recommend it on a phone. I would recommend it on a tablet.
Okay.
And if I'm right, it's the dust cover, but the very cover stuff does have something.
Don't forget. The standard data rates apply.
It has the theme song.
Standard data rates apply.
Yes. Yeah, on theme song.
Recommended using Wi-Fi.
Matt described this perfectly. You called it a...
No, Chris is actually one who said
Chris
it.
Chris said
oh,
it.
Oh, it's a digital pop-up book.
It's a digital pop-up book. What the app lets you do is it gives you an index of pages you can go to as well as the cover of the book, like Logan was saying, and you have to center it with your tablet, and
you have to
activate the app first.
Well, you have to have a camera on your tablet.
Your tablet, true.
Because it has to read the page that it's on to have the digital part appear on the tablet.
Basically, what you do is you put your tablet or whatever you have over the page, and it'll...
Like you're going to take a picture of the page.
Yeah.
Let's describe that a few more times. We had three.
Okay. You hold your tablet about maybe 2-3 feet above the page.
Maybe not that far. But the cover, like Logan said, does... It basically lifts up the images and has this theme song or main theme for the book. Then throughout the book, there are multiple pages where you go to, you put your camera on the page, and this is one where you have to have a table, so it will lay flat. I'm not sure how well it would work just in your lap or... I'm not sure, but...
It's possible, but difficult.
There are different pages where the imagery will come out and be 3D, and you can tap it, and it will move around, do different things. You can go into another feature that gives you detailed information about what's showing on the screen. And this is just, like I said, this is the reason to buy this book, is it's the first of its kind that I'm aware of. And when I first got it and looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is way too cool. And Logan downloaded the app, and we spent probably the next 30 minutes or better going through the different pages, seeing what would happen.
There are 30 pages in total.
30 pages.
Which is funny, because I wasn't really all that lag. I was like, cool.
Some of them attack you.
I'm just going to go elsewhere.
Hey, I got to do this. Hold on for one second.
It could be the story that turned me off from it, though.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
Anyways. Wow.
But that's the reason why it cost is the digital interaction, I believe, more than anything else. It is a nice packaging. It comes here in a cardboard box.
Yeah. It's intense.
Oh. Thought he said to wait.
So did I.
But it's I guess you would call it a landmark book that even when times come, you don't want to delete it because it's the first of its kind. Even if ones come after this, this is the first one.
That's going to be worth $1 million someday.
I don't know about
that.
No,
but it is the first of its kind. The other cool thing about it is...
Smooth.
As in the storyline, we'll do that first and then we'll go into what I was going to say.
What?
As in the storyline, what ages are you thinking?
Storyline is real.
Dude, that's cool.
He's going to play the theme song off the iPad. That's what he's doing.
Of course.
The storyline is really simple. I think there's a little bit of violence, but I think middle schoolers and up would be fine with it.
Okay.
When you get into the elementary age, sixth grade and under,
yeah, kinda.
Might be not the best thing, but I don't remember there being any sexual situations to my knowledge or nudity.
There's more blood, I think.
More blood. There's a little bit, you know, skimpy outfits to a degree, some not
That's
as skimpy
all
as
science
others.
Fiction.
Okay. Now to get into what I was going to say about it, if you have somebody that likes the technology aspect of things but necessarily doesn't like graphic novels, this is a way that you can have this set up somewhere, have an iPad or something showed up. It's just it is awesome in the graphics.
Does that remind you of Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, pretty close. Where you could set up and you could show them what this does,
right?
And maybe get them interested in the book,
and then
by showing them what they can see on a tablet,
and then they'll go get another graphic novel and look like a retard trying to get a picture out of it. It's not working.
Why doesn't this work? Well, not quite that bad. But it is a way, and my thought of it is it's a way you could introduce people to graphic novels and have something.
Right.
Here, Chris. Jeez.
Either it can work both ways. You got technology, people introducing them to graphic novels.
Or I'm sorry. Am I not working fast enough for you?
No.
God.
What do we pay you for?
You don't.
But this one, we picked it up. We're a smaller library. And I would not recommend this for a smaller library because of the cost, unless you just have the extra money. We picked it up because we're a small library, because we do have a graphic novel collection, and I thought it was, like I said, a landmark book that needed to be included in the collection if you're going to have a graphic novel collection.
Yeah.
Medium-sized libraries, again, check the price. Larger libraries, I think definitely you need to pick this up because, like, again, it's just a landmark book.
Well, I
have no idea how loud this is going to be.
All right.
Volume buttons.
Here we
on
go.
Top.
Here we go. Awesome.
Do you need a stretch
deafening
mic
silence
over there?
Is the volume actually on?
Yeah. Check the volume. Where's the
check
volume?
Check the mute button.
Yeah.
Do you need your mic stretched over there? Oh, he's got one there.
He's got yeah.
Oh, it's plugged in. I see.
Snap.
He broke it. He broke it.
You want me to put it back on here so it's flatter?
No. It worked. I mean.
Yeah, but I have no volume.
No.
There it
oh!
Comes.
Okay.
You really had it on mute.
And what Chris is doing now, he's actually taking a.
Maybe it's the cords that mess with it or whatever you plug into it.
Tape input. It's not muted. Hold on.
What? Whoa. That killed everything.
Wrong button.
Let's try it this way.
What if you just stretched your mic over to it and just did that way?
That's intense. Oh, then it died. Oh! I like that.
And what Chris just did there is that was the cover of the book that lifted up the image.
That was the theme song.
Did the theme song. So, like I said, it's a very cool book. It highly recommend it for personal collections if you're really into graphic novels and can afford it. I unfortunately cannot.
Me neither. Holy cow.
Libraries, larger libraries, I would say definitely pick it up because it's a landmark issue. Mediums, consider it strongly. I think it should be there. Smaller libraries, pass
definitely
on.
Definitely
they
have the budget.
Pass on small libraries unless you just have extra money laying around at the end of the year.
Oh, and so many of us have that.
Yes. But, or if you get somebody nice enough to donate some money to you.
We're paying so much money for people to come in and shovel all the snow off our parking lot.
But this is one with our discount. I've mentioned before with our jobber, we get a nice discount of roughly about 40% off. So that helped out. The last time I checked it on Amazon, they did have a markdown to $39.95, but that was about a couple of weeks ago to a month ago. So your pricing will vary. So do a little bit of shopping. You can get it at a little bit more reasonable price. So check out Amazon. You might be able to get it at a pretty nice discount as well if you can't get it through a regular jobber.
What you doing?
We're all just
playing Candy Crush.
I thought he was doing something.
No, he's playing a video game.
But that's pretty much it, just unless anybody else has anything.
I put my input in. It's a cool book, like I said, you know, for the pop-up feature, and would definitely mention Jiminy Christmas.
This is a pop-up book for somebody who, maybe not your football players, but maybe basketball players.
That was cold. Cool, but cold. God. I like it. Recommend it.
I don't care. I wasn't impressed with it. Seriously, like...
Honest opinion.
Hey, I'm reviewing this book. Opinion. I don't care.
That's honest, like... Like, because when they showed me, I thought it's cool, but then I'm like, can I go away now? Like, can I go read my book?
Like, and you're going to run into that. Your tech people are really going to enjoy it.
Because, yeah, it's like, I don't get technology enough to be like, what?
What do you think, Logan?
That is a book.
Yeah, it is a book.
That was better than yours. I give Logan props for that.
That is a book.
You guys give me so much crap for when I screw up on my novel reviews, and here they are giving you crap now. How does that feel?
Really?
How does that feel?
I thought it was an apple. What?
How does that feel, Dad?
Dig it in. Dig it in.
Wow.
What's that?
So what did you want to do about yours, April?
Logan's not paying attention.
Oh, wow. Well.
Only half the time, maybe.
So what's your opinion on the book? It's a book.
Yeah. But oh, definitely.
Pretty good.
Oh.
Pretty good, actually.
He's like,
pretty good, actually. Okay.
Do you care to go into detail with that statement?
Wait a few hours. I might be able to figure it out.
But anyway, definitely, like I said, larger libraries, definitely pick it up. It's a core book. This will be.
I love this podcast.
So.
It's a book.
We give awesome educational or educated reviews on this podcast.
Who would have thought
it? Wow. I think we pretty much dug this one into the ground. We'll let this one go on by. We have a couple of books that you can pick up.
So. Guys, understand, okay? April and Logan are teenagers, okay? What they say and do on this podcast, we are not responsible for in any way.
It's not a reflection upon us.
Besides those talking into April, not you.
The reviews on this podcast are our individual thoughts and feelings.
True.
Not the podcast as a whole.
But it's been fun. War of the Worlds, Chris, you said?
Sucks.
Yeah. Pass.
Pass. I say on this one, pick up if you can.
Now, wait a minute. If there are sci-fi people out there, if you have a problem with me saying pass on it, email Richard. We would love to hear your point of view.
Yes,
give us a full-on paper about why War of the Worlds is amazing.
Email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Let us know your thoughts. If you disagree with us, we'll read them on the air and give your point of view.
If you have suggestions,
if it's appropriate to read on air,
yes, try to be appropriate.
We'll just put in a lot of beeps.
But if whether it's either a comment on that or a suggestion, like or a request, like April said, or we'll be more than glad.
Or just say what up, dog.
Just say what up. We'll be glad to share it with everybody. We'd be glad to hear from you. We've had fun, so you guys have fun. We'll catch y'all later.
Bye.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, 'cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, 'cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.